Yeah, I'm on. Yes. Don't need one of these in the classroom. Hey, it's such a joy to be here. I've heard about your church since, was it 1999? Whenever it was, when George kept telling me, I'm going to Coventry. Are you? And he started telling me about his vision, Jill's vision. And so it's my first time here. Thank you so much. What a joy. Hey, I've got the book here. It's been a lot of fun. Has anybody got a birthday today? Who would be like the first one to come and get this? It's going free. Right, it's all yours. I've got a bundle at the back, so if you want one, you can get one on the way back. Now, I want to start, actually, I wasn't going to start like this, but I want to tell you about something which is happening in our nation. Who's heard of the Eternal Wall? A few people dotted around. This, I can honestly say I met the man who was first given this vision. I met him yesterday. This is a vision to put up an infinity monument, I suppose is the best way of describing it. It is going to be, you know, the Angel of the North is 20 meters high. You might not know it's 20. The Rio de Janeiro Christ the Redeemer statue is 30 meters high. If you put them on top of each other, this is higher than that. You're so big, it's got a football pitch effectively underneath it. It is going to be made up of 1 million bricks. And the reason it's 1 million bricks is that on every single brick, there is going to be a testimony written on it. Testimonies from you and me and anyone. So far, they have raised £32 million, goodness of God, and they can now build it. But there's one slight problem. You see, the money has come in, but the testimonies have not been flowing in. So they've got 43,000 testimonies. I would say, if I look around this room, and you've been a Christian, who was it who said for 2.5 years, I love that, come on. Or you've been a Christian for 25 years, 50, whatever. We have got masses of testimonies. God did this. I couldn't find my key. I prayed and then. You done that one? God has provided me something when I really needed it. He has healed a relationship in my family. He's healed my body. Whatever it may be, they are testimonies of the goodness of our Jesus Christ. And you know, what's going to happen is they're all going to be digitally managed so that you can actually push your phone in a certain direction, take a photograph, download what's on the brick. It might be your testimony. It might be somebody who's come from the middle of who knows where, who reads it. And do we all know what testimonies do? They are the spirit, can we say it? The spirit of prophecy, which means it'll happen again. Come on, children, help me out. And again, and again. That's what happens. That's what's the truth of what a testimony is. You can find it in Revelation 19. But we know it because it's true in our lives. You hear of something and you think, whoa, your faith level, doesn't it? And then you can believe for the next bit. You know, without faith, can you finish the sentence off? Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Oh. Children, this is where you come in. I'm looking there because I can see a row of children. Where else have we got children in here? Hey, guys, I'm so excited that you're in here. I feel at home, okay? So I might be using you during the course of this. Get ready. Okay, but you know, without faith, but I know when I'm with children, that children say, well, of course God can do anything. Children, it may well be, and I mean what I say here, that you could be leading this church with seeing Jesus do incredible things. Hear me. Hear me. Is that all right? Hear me. Because, you know, Jesus wants to work with us whatever our age. And he will work through faith. Which simply means, I trust you. I believe. I was in a classroom sometime. Don't know when. And I was teaching a year 5 class. And partway through the lesson on volcanoes, it was an explosive lesson. And a child from behind me simply said, Mr. T, can God do anything? My answer, yes, he can. Hasn't actually allowed Everton to win the league for a while, but I won't include that bit. Now listen, yes, he can. So a few minutes later, he must have been thinking, girl in the class whose feet were like this. Okay, they pointed inwards about that angle. Her name was Abigail. And he said, Mr. T, interrupting my lesson. I thought, fair enough. Can God heal Abigail? Could he make her feet straight? I said, yep. And then I thought, I know what the third question's going to be. I carried on. Yes. Why don't we ask him now? Now, that really put me on the spot. But you see, has it got anything to do with me? Absolutely nothing. It's only to do with the one who's the only one who can do it. I know what I can do. Absolutely zero, nothing. I could make someone worse, but I know full well I couldn't improve them. I've hit a few people with cricket balls over the years, and anyway. I closed my eyes in that lesson, partly out of, oh my goodness, and I said, right, children, who wants to ask God to do it? None of them were Christians. And 2 children put their hands up, obviously, because I'd looked around and I thought, right, go on then. And they spoke simple prayers, obviously, because I said, well, just say this. They spoke, I had my eyes closed, very bad move, because when I opened my eyes, those feet were straight. The whole of that lesson, well, volcanoes didn't come into it anymore. It was pandemonium in the lesson, the whole lesson. In fact, the mum came at the end of the day and she said, Mr. T, what have you done to Abigail's feet? I said, nothing. But God has healed them. Are you happy? She obviously was. But she said, but I've now got to go and buy a new pair of shoes. Well, that was then. But this is now. We're talking about testimony. That was then. I was over with George and Jill in France, which is where, of course, they are. And George said, I'd like you to do some healing meetings. And so we went into this very cold, dry Catholic church building. And 50 or 60, 70 people came in. At the end of the lesson, at the end of the preach, I finished up and I gave so many words of knowledge. I think 3/4 of the people there responded to words of knowledge. And we started praying. And people kept coming to the microphone, I've been healed of this. And there was another cheer. And of course, the faith level went higher and higher. I had a child of 12. He was going to help me pray. He'd said, I want to help you. I said, you sure? Come on. We believe Jesus. You and I will lay hands on the sick. They will. He never came. I thought, where is he? Then I heard some running up and down the middle of this aisle. And I looked, thought, it's Luca. And I was about to say, Luca, come here. When he and his dad went to the microphone, and his dad had tears in his eyes, he said, Luca was born with feet like this. I had shared the testimony of Abigail. And Luca said to me, if it happens to that girl, why can't it happen to me? And his dad said, well, it could. He said, I am going to believe God. And in that moment, his feet straightened. They went to George, and I think George just went very calmly, oh, wonderful, and went to the microphone. I was going, oh, God, you are amazing. That's testimony. We must share testimony, whatever it is. Share it. It will build faith. You may share a testimony. And do you know, I believe there will be more testimonies that are going to be able to be written today because of what the Lord does in here today. If you believe that, put your hand up. Don't just put your hand up. If you believe it, put your hand up. I believe it. I'll tell you why I believe it. Because Jesus doesn't let us down. Hallelujah. And we want those many testimonies to go on that wall. Because somebody in Peru might hear about what's happened to you and they could be healed or they could be whatevered as a result of your testimony. So testimony is powerful. Okay. I told you yesterday we saw a lady with this problem with her knee. Paula, my wife, yes, okay, who's over there? My beautiful wife. She laid hands on a person in a wheelchair 2 days ago. And the next day, that lady was walking. Now, she's been a Christian for 18 months. The Lord wants to take all of us. He says, if you've got a small seed of faith, what's he say about a mustard seed? We only need a mustard seed of faith. The Lord is going to use you really powerfully. The Holy Spirit is all over you. You are going to receive something really powerful today. You know, all it needs is just us to go, Jesus, I trust you. I mean, isn't that what we want? We want to see so many acts of God break out through Coventry and through Derby, where I'm from, and all these places that people all over the place are drawn to say, who is Jesus? There is something happening in this country. There is a stirring. I'm absolutely convinced that this project, which is going to be ready at the start of 2028, people are going to see it. It's in the corner of the M6 and the M42. The Birmingham flight path is going to go. People are going to see it. They reckon a million a week or something are going to see it, or whatever it is, for in different places. Oh, guys, let's get on board in trusting Jesus. Let's trust him. You know, the less we think we can do it, I think in heaven they're going, oh, thank goodness for that. They've got the message at last. Our internal reality is what we see on the outside. I believe that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in every single one of you guys if you believe in Jesus right now. Do you believe in Jesus right now? I want you to say to yourself first, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in me. Say it to yourself. Say it to yourself. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You know, when Jesus died and he was buried and he was put in a tomb, the devil, he must have been celebrating like there was no other day. the only one who could stop him dominating the world forever and ever, gone. Gone. Celebration. I picture, you know, Jesus, when he rose, he ascended, yes, but he descended and he disarmed the powers, the rulers, yes, the powers of this dark age. This is what I picture. I picture an underground something, and I see a massive party with the devil and all his minions, demons, down there enjoying, yes, we've won. And then, right, just picture it. Come with me in my picture. Then from one end of the room, one corner, there is a shaft of light. It's dark, of course, underground. A shaft of light that, pew, straight through the room. What happens? Every eye turns and they see the impossible. They see Jesus walking through. I mean, can you just imagine? Then he said, those keys, the ones that control death and hell, they're mine. And no one's wrestled them out of his hand. They're in his hand. Hallelujah. So the devil thought he'd won. Then on the day of Pentecost, 120 followers get absolutely baptized, immersed, marinated, whatever you want to call it, in the Holy Spirit. And every single one of them has the same spirit in them that raised Jesus from the dead. And now there's not none, there's 120. And then Peter preaches and about 3,000. So we can do the maths. How many is it now? But I look around the world, I'm sure you might do the same, and think there are that many Christians on this planet. If every single one, I'm going to take you three because you're on the front row, unlucky. But I'm going to take, if every single one of the four of us absolutely knew that we had the same spirit, the creator of the universe inside of us, what would happen to the world around us? Oh my goodness, it would be carnage, wouldn't it? Don't you hunger for that? Can I ask you, how much are you hungering after God? Not the things of God, but hungering after the person of Jesus. It's all in Jesus. If we hunger after him, we get everything. That's where we need to go. We go to him. Amen. Amen. Come on. The Savior of the world inside of... Oh, it's thrilling, isn't it? Had two people in front of me the other day. They both had hearing problems. Who's had a hearing problem in here? Okay. Do you put your hand up for everything? One had 70% loss of hearing, and one, he said, I think it's 80%. Both of them, the next day, came and told me, complete hearing. Hallelujah. Only one person can do that. He's Jesus. He just takes one of you guys, or one of the adults, but one of you guys to say, I trust you, Jesus. And by the way, children, would you like to come with me at the end and pray for people who are sick and see them well? Do you want to do that? Right, you're on. Okay. Adults, that's exceedingly good news, by the way. They would just trust John, just Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we saw a whole load of things. I could give you a mass of stories. I think around 3,000 people I saw healed last year, and lots of them were in this country. Let's believe that our God is with us wherever we go. He is with us. How do we know about his promises? Well, we've got this glorious book. This is his word. I honestly believe that if we say we love Jesus and we don't love this book, we're actually saying a lie. This is his word. This is Jesus in print. We can't do without reading his amazing word. I want to talk about covenants. We got married fairly recently, Paula and I, and we made a covenant to one another. But God has made a covenant with us. How about, if you've got a Bible, turn to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. We'll go there now, I think. That's the plan. Right, Isaiah 42. It's just an amazing book, isn't it? For those of us who know Isaiah well. 42. Did I put something? I did. Right. We're going to start in Isaiah 42. We're going to hop a few chapters on to Isaiah 49, and then we're going to go into Matthew. That's my route the next few minutes. Okay. Isaiah 42, middle of the book, more or less, and we get to verse 6. Now, this is a prophetic statement centuries before Christ. I, the Lord God, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Who's he talking about? Jesus. I will take you. Who's our covenant? Jesus. It's not a piece of paper. It's not a stone tablet. He is our covenant. Nothing else. I will make you. What to do what? Verse 7. To open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. There we see two of the three absolutes, healing and deliverance. There's a third absolute in this covenant, and we see it in Isaiah 49, verse 6. So just pop over a few chapters. It's verse 6 again. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. We see healing, deliverance, salvation. I think a huge number of the church, and I'm not talking about here because I don't know you, I'm talking about all sorts of places I go, we talk about the gospel as being salvation. People preach, and they're right. Of course they're right. It is salvation. But it's triune in nature. It's healing, it's deliverance. It's a promise. Jesus fulfilled every one of those promises. He just wasn't just written about him and said, well, there we are, that's nice. No. He actually, when he came to life, he fulfilled it. And you can go to Matthew now, if we go into the New Testament, and we see the start of his ministry. Right at the end of Matthew chapter 4, you get verse 23. In my Bible, it says, Jesus heals the sick, just above it. He went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria. People brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. He fulfilled it. The government is on his shoulder. Isaiah chapter 9. Christmas sort of reading, isn't it? But the government's on his shoulder. He has the government. He says, all authority is given to me. Where are we? in him. So where's the authority? With Jesus. We have the authority over anything that can come against us. I'm just going to pray a moment. In the name of Jesus, I just take total, in the spirit, control over this room, in the spirit right now. That Lord, you will have your way right the way through this building right now. We say you are Lord in this place. You are Lord. I pray right now that revelation will come. I pray that eyes will be opened physically and spiritually, that we will see that this is for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's our covenant, guys. It's our covenant. It has to happen. God won't let us down. Right, so we've got God on this side. He makes the covenant. He says, this is what I will do. Therefore, this is what he will do. On the other side of the covenant are us. Maybe this is where we're a bit frail at times. Have you kept every promise you've ever made? No. I probably mean to make most of them. But some I think I just say. We've got to work with him. Hallelujah. If we do, as we move together, and we'll see all of that fulfilled in front. How many sermons did Jesus preach or teach on unanswered prayer? None. Why? Because in heaven, there's no unanswered prayer. Now, I know that there are situations, I've come across many of them, where we've cried out to God to heal something. Might be you crying out, God, for yourself. Maybe for someone else. We can't give all the answers. We're not God. But I'll tell you what, God is faithful. God is faithful. He is faithful. And we need to keep saying he's faithful. He is faithful. Amen. And, you know, perhaps we need to look and say, well, okay, what do we need to learn in this situation? What do I need to learn in situations where I've prayed for someone and prayed for someone and prayed for someone? How many of you have done that? And you know what happens? Do you agree with me? That layers of disappointment can so easily... I believe that there are certain blocks to healing. It's just worth me mentioning them. One is repentance, if repentance is needed. It's important. As soon as there's repentance, what happens? A joining with God. If there's repentance, it just creates that little gap. And honestly, as you're sitting there and I'm standing here, if we know there's a need to repent for something, start repenting. No one can force you to. But before God, repent. Because it can be a little block. What's the second one? I would say lack of forgiveness. I've seen that many times. But Indy's over there, give us a wave, Indy. She's in a blue top. That's a very, very moderate wave. But Indy and I were in a meeting in July last year, and there was a girl about her age who has been on crutches for about 3 years on and off, and she was in a lot of pain, and we were asked, actually, could we pray for her? It's not the church I normally go to, so could you pray for her? I said, okay. She happened to sit in front of me, praise God, that made it easier. And I turned around, and as soon as I looked at her, I just heard God say, forgiveness. And I had to ask the question, is there anyone you need to forgive? Because forgiveness can be such a block. And her face, Indy, crumpled, didn't it? And... it was obvious that it was a very, very painful situation. I don't know it. I don't want to know what it was. I'm assuming it was a boy anyway. Okay, we might put two and two together. I have no idea what it means. But the point actually is, it was really hard for her to have forgiven. And we said, look, we can't force you to. She said, I want to. I thought, whoa, that's courage. And we led her in a prayer of forgiveness. She didn't mention the person, she didn't need to. You know what? We stood her up, and within 2 minutes, those crutches were put away. We hardly had to pray for her. It's the truth, isn't it, Indy? And she just ran out of that building. By the way, power of testimony, there was a lad sitting two seats away from her who had broken his ankle that week. I think it was that week, wasn't it? Yeah. That week, and he had a plaster on. And he saw what happened, and he thought, well, that could happen to me then. So he said, will you pray for me? We never even laid hands on him. We said, well, start walking then. Start walking. And he said, well, and he gingerly sort of, like this. And eventually he found he could put his foot on it, and then eventually he was jumping on this foot, plaster off, and he ran out of that building. That's the truth. That's Jesus. Don't think anything is too far from him. He is so good, and he's faithful to that covenant. He will not let that go. That's it. It's up to us. We're over here. Can we marry in there? I think there's two things that you see in the Bible, and I see with my own eyes, that when you're praying for someone, your fingers started, you started getting feeling or movement in your fingers right then, didn't we, when we were praying earlier? Hallelujah. You know what? There are two things you see in the Bible that if you get these two things in place, it's dynamite in the spiritual world. What's more real? What you and I can see with our physical eyes, or what is up there which is unseen? Don't answer it necessarily out loud. I'm going to tell you, what is out there is eternal. What is here is temporary. Jesus wants us to know that he is bigger than all of this. Hunger is the first one. You look at the lady who came with the issue of blood. She was unclean. 12 years. Doctor, no good. Got worse. Spent all her money. She had that hunger to reach out in the middle of that huge crowd, knowing that against all the customs and culture at the time, it was not a good plan. And she reached out. She said, if I just touch, that is what we can all say today. If I just touch him. She was hungry. My point is, she was desperately hungry. Jairus, in the same sort of story, really, Jairus fell at Jesus' feet. That tells me he's desperately hungry. Blind Bartimaeus, desperately hungry. The four guys, the friends, was it four guys anyway, who lowered the paralyzed guy down and made a hole in someone's roof. What desperation. I think Jesus wants to ask, how hungry are you? How desperate. He feeds on hunger. He's drawn to hunger. All through the Bible, long, aching, thirsting. You see these words, as a deer pants for water. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. I really sense there's a pregnancy happening in this church. I sensed it when I walked in. Malcolm, my friend Malcolm, who's over here, who I treasure as a friend. He sensed the same. Parminda's here. She sensed the same. Just a hunger. It's a pregnant hunger. And it needs to give birth. I believe there's a birthing needed. Is that going to happen today? Where we take what we long to see, because if you wrote down, what do I want to see? You would write down all what we want to see, the dead raised. Well, I want to go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Is it that way or 8, verse 10? I think it's 10, verse 8. Anyway, you can have a look it up. Where Jesus said to them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. We would say, yeah, we want to see that. I think Jesus says that is true for all of us if we hunger and thirst after it. And what's the second pillar? That's the hunger you see in the Bible many times. And then faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, all things are possible. There's nothing left out of all. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus is here. Do you believe Jesus is everywhere? Do you believe that? Who knows he's everywhere? So how about imagining he's right in front of you right now? If he's everywhere, he's in front of you right now. The creator of the universe. He's looking at you. He's looking at me. Will you trust me? You can hear in the scripture him saying it. Will you trust me? That's who I am. I long to see people feeding off that, he would say. And I tell you what, you'll get what you hunger for, because he doesn't lie. Hallelujah. I'm going to wrap this up in a minute. I believe that in here, Jesus, yes, wants to heal bodies. Of course he does. Do I believe he'll do it? Yes, 100%. Because he doesn't disappoint. How quickly does a healing come? I prayed for a man. December the 29th or the 30th, I went with a good friend of mine to his house. He had gangrene. I never heard, seen gangrene healed. But we said, yeah, we're going. He'd had already 1.5 fingers amputated. It was now in his foot. He was told that he would probably have to have his leg cut off at the knee. Please, will you come and pray? We went in. We've got nothing. Oh, sorry. Other than the fact that Jesus is inside of us. When we're weak, there were two other guys there. They both got healed in that room that day. Doesn't matter what of, but they both got healed. We prayed for him. Did he get healed there and then? No. Same pain. Everything. We left. He was in the same condition as when we went in. But so what do we do then? Because we've all been there. What do we do then? I'll tell you what I've done many times. You put your hand up. You've done what I've done. Maybe you're better than me. I've gone, well, it hasn't happened to you then. Never mind, keep trusting God. Who said that sort of thing in the past? I have too many times. But I have now learned and said, that's not it. Jesus has healed it. Does it say that everyone gets healed immediately? So many times someone comes the next day and says, actually, I can now do this. So many times. But if I say, oh, well, it hasn't worked then, what have I done to that faith? 6 or 7 weeks later, my friend and I, his name is Dave, we were in a meeting. Malcolm was there as well. And there was somebody else in the room who knew this man who had gangrene. And we happened to say, oh, how's Ian? Oh, he's fine. What? What do you mean he's fine? Well, he's back doing everything now. What's happened to the gangrene? Oh, it's completely vanished. It's gone. Dave and I looked at each other and went, what? And he hasn't come and told us. I would have loved to have known that. Did I need to know that? No. That was 6 months. I don't know whether that was 1 day, 1 week. I don't know. It doesn't matter. That prayer is answered in heaven when you pray in faith. It's answered. That's it. Leave it with him. Done deal. Children, done deal. Agreed? I actually do see a lot of people healed immediately. But whether it's immediate or not, doesn't matter. Okay. Who here wants to see a move of the Spirit that comes within us, starts here, and moves out? Come on, this doesn't show Jesus how hungry you are. It just doesn't. You've got to show him. We've got to get out of our Britishness. Seriously. We have. We've got to say, oh God, come. I want that. I think there's two prayers to pray in here today. One, we will pray for anyone who is sick. If you need a miracle in your body in some way or other, some sort of healing in your body or your mind or your soul, just go on, show Jesus that it's you. Show Jesus. He sees your hand. Doesn't matter about me. Hallelujah. Keep your hand up. Show him. I want it, Jesus. I want it, Jesus. I need it, Jesus. We've prayed for some people, some of you women with back problems. You're going to go out of here and without any problem in your back. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Some of you may already be healed in your back. If you were prayed for, I believe it's coming. If it hasn't come. Okay, let's put our hand down a minute. We'll pray for you. But the second prayer is, we want to see, and I know the guys down, want to see a multiplication happen. So numeracy, addition's good, isn't it? Yeah. 3 add 3, well, 6, isn't it? 3 times 3, right. 12 plus 12, 12 times 12, come on. It's good to be back in the classroom. Okay, 15, no, I forgot. Right. We want to see multiplication. That's what it's about. We want to pray, believe the Lord is asking us to pray for an impartation. Who wants an impartation so you can move? There's only one person giving it you. His name is Jesus. And that comes from inside of you. You're drawing it. All we're going to do is lay hands on you. And I believe as we lay hands upon you, there is going to be an impartation because that's the promise of God. And by the way, if you lay hands on sick people, they will get well. Know this, they will get well. What I wanted to do, just trying to work how we're going to manage this. I think we might move a few chairs out the way. Can we do that? So we've got a bit of space down here. Can I think just the first two or three rows maybe. Just stay with us, guys.